This is Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Soil Church. Join me right here on Shine Lord Radio Show every Sunday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on We Talk Radio. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. Hello to everybody out there. Thank you all for joining us on this morning. Thank you all for joining us on this evening. A 6 p.m. pop-up service is what we want to call it, a 6 p.m. pop-up service. I want to thank all of y'all for just spending a small segment of your time joining in and joining us here. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, coming to you at 6 p.m. live, Central Standard Time. Thank all of y'all for joining us on this evening. I want to thank all of y'all for spending this small segment of your time for joining us on this evening. We've got Facebook Live going right now. Thank all of y'all on Facebook. We've got YouTube. Thank all of y'all on YouTube, and thank y'all on We Talk Radio that are all listening in to the Shine Lord program, the Shine Lord program on We Talk Radio's station. And I thank all of y'all for joining us on this evening. So I'm going to go ahead and get right into it. I've had this burning passion and desire to really dive into this message. We talked about it a little bit this morning. Some of you folks saw the Facebook posting that I had. I wanted to do it again so we can give you all the bells and whistles, all the tools that we love to bring to you. Again, here, we're going to have our slides. We're going to have everything that we have because I believe in doing things to the best of your ability when it comes to doing God's work. When it comes to doing God's work, I believe in putting our best foot forward and doing the absolute best when it comes to doing the work of God. So I'm just going to kind of retouch on a message that we had on this morning. And I just want to go a little bit deeper into this message from this morning here, just allow God to just allow the word to flow. So those that are listening to this word live, maybe you've heard the word again, those that may be listening the next day, whenever you get a chance, whenever you're listening to this on our YouTube page or on Facebook Live, just allow God to speak to you. Just allow God to speak to you, because as we say, the word of God, it speaks to us, it lives through us, and it meets us wherever we are. It meets us wherever we are. So whatever we're going through in our lives, the word of God is there. Whatever we're experiencing in our lives, the word of God is there. It's just like that old song that we used to say, he was there all the time. He is with us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he uses his word to line up with whatever situation that we're in, whatever we're going through, whatever we are experiencing, the word of God is there. So I just want to help bring the word of God to you and allow God to speak to your heart, to help open your mind so that you can receive his word. There are a couple things I want to talk about this evening. I got a habit of saying morning, but we're coming to you 6 p.m. Central Standard Time this evening. So if you hear me say morning, just charge it to my mind, not my heart. I might make a couple of flaws because I'm so used to going live in the morning here. But y'all just stay with me. Y'all just stay with me. We're going to have a wonderful time in God's word. We say something here. Speaking of morning, we have some things that we say to kind of line up with what we call mnemonic devices to help us remember things so that when it comes to things that we need to withdraw, it's things that are familiar to us that we can use to withdraw when it comes to certain things that we need for inspiration or encouragement or whatever it is. For instance, we have a saying called, it's the early bird that catches the worm. How many of us have heard that? The early bird that catches the worm. What does that mean? When you get starting on something early, the better your chances are for allowing whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's going out, let's just say, in terms of sales, okay? As salespeople, they get up and get their day started early and get out there and get in front of customers first, they have a better chance of closing deals and getting in front of customers. They set the pace. They set the pattern. So the early bird catches the worm in terms of business. The early bird catches the worm. Work hard, play hard. That's another one that we said. When you work hard, then you have the opportunity to play hard. When you work hard, you have that opportunity to play hard. What does that mean? Hard work pays off. You'll be able to eat the fruits. You'll be able to enjoy the spoils when you put forth the hard work. That's what that means. You can do anything that you put your mind to, is something else that we say. We want to make sure that we encourage people that if you focus in on something hard enough, and if you put all your time and effort and you allow your mind to be completely dialed into whatever it is that you're trying to go for, you can do it when you put your mind into it. Here's something else that we say, rise and shine. Okay? You want to rise and you want to shine. Just like the sun shines in the morning, when you rise, you want to rise and you want to shine like that, like the sun does. Whatever you do, you want to shine. You want to be that bright light wherever you go. And then also, what I love about Damon John's recent book, he had something where he changed that to where he says, rise and grind. You want to get up and you want to start the grind of your day. You want to get up and start working hard to play hard. You want to get up and be that early bird that catches the worm. Those are just some things that we say, and they're very familiar to us, and they're short-term terms that we like to use, because what those things will do is they will play into our mind, and they become developed into our lifestyle. And that's why I wanted to use those as some examples. Another thing that we say when it comes to teamwork is there's no I in team. There's no I in team. That's what we want to make sure that we say, that it's about the team. It's about the group, not one individual. That's what we say. There is no I. The letter I is not spelled in T-E-A-M. There's no I in team. And teamwork makes what? The dream work. Teamwork makes the dream work. So those are some catchy phrases that we say at times. And we want to use those catchy phrases to help those things in our life, because we're going somewhere with all these phrases. So y'all stay with me here, because it's going to talk about a particular form of a lifestyle that we want to talk about as we're coming to you with this message. But just as we have these catchy phrases to help us in life, we need scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, from the Word of God to help us in our lives, especially in today's time. Especially in today's time that we're living in right now. Because if you recall, a few weeks ago, at our Power of Strength series, we had a series called The Power of Strength. And one of the messages in that series, we talked about having what I call muscle memory. Just imagine me having some weights. And as you're being diligent and you're constantly working out and you're working your biceps and your triceps and your abs and your quads and so forth and so on, and you're doing that and you develop a routine for that, what tends to happen is over time you develop what we call muscle memory. That's right. Your muscles remember the resistance. They remember the impact. But that didn't happen overnight. It happened over time, because you're being diligent and you're working hard so that you can play hard, you can develop the strength and have the definition and all of those things that you're looking for. But it comes from doing something special, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, because what I want us to understand is that we should all strive to live a life saturated with plenty of areas of muscle memory, so that when we need to be able to withdraw from the things that we've worked hard and we've developed sweat equity and we've developed and we've got all of this investment and the time that we spent on things, we need to be able to withdraw that and use that to our benefit. You're not working hard just for the sake of working hard. You're working hard for the sake of being able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. But what I want us to understand is that life happens to us. And sometimes as we have these goals and these desires, oftentimes we can fall off track. Sometimes we can fall off track. Because I'm going to put a scripture up here right now, because Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, as you see it on the screen right there, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short. Not did fall short. It's not past tense. Not at one point you fell short. The word fall means it's a constant thing. The word fall means that tomorrow we may fall short. None of us are perfect. All of us are striving. And what he's saying in Romans 3:23, that yes, we all fall short of the glory of God, but we have to get ourselves back on track. This is the reason why he tells us things, the Apostle Paul tells us things, forget those things which are behind, but to press on. Press. Keep that word in mind. Press on toward the mark. Paul is very, very, very saturated with encouragement. And we're going to talk about him here in just a little bit. But I want to put our very first slide up as I'm introducing you into this new series here. Because we all strive, ladies and gentlemen, to live our best life. But we experience challenges and we experience unexpected occurrences that can knock us off the beaten path of success. We can all experience these things that can knock us off of the beaten path of success. That's what I want us to understand. Because if it ain't sin that can derail us, sometimes choices that we make can also derail us. How many of us are guilty of impulse spending in our lives? How many of us are guilty of maybe impulse eating or making decisions and choices off the impulse? And after you made that decision and you made that choice off the impulse, there were some repercussions that had some detrimental effects to you in your life. How many of us can attest to that? I'll be the first to raise my hand. Because sometimes it's not, yes, things happen and life can throw curveballs at us, and we all understand that. But sometimes it's choices that we have, that we either make or that we don't make, that can lead us into becoming derailed off of our process and our progress and our plans. What I want us to understand is that, but sometimes, you know, as life happens to us, these decisions and these choices that we make or don't make, they can make our lives tougher than they really should be. They can really make our lives tougher than they should be. But here's what I want us to know on today as we're going into this new series here, as we're getting ready to allow God to speak to our hearts and our minds about these issues and these challenges that we can sometimes experience. There's one thing that we can do, ladies and gentlemen, to better position ourselves. We can position ourselves to be that early bird that can catch the worm of our situation. Or we can be the one that works hard, so we can be the one that plays hard. And it's something that in our life, the everyday challenge for all of us, but what I want us to understand is an everyday challenge for all of us to get to that point in our lives, because we have our ups and we have our downs, and life can hit us all around. But by inserting this mental element that we're getting ready to talk about here in our lives, we will be better positioned for ourselves to allow ourselves now unto Him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask, according to the power that works within us. And God will give us the power to overcome these challenges, as you see in Ephesians 3 and 20 right now. That power that He's telling us about, that wonder-working power, that power from the Holy Spirit, will give us the power to have this one word that we're going to focus on for the next few weeks, called discipline. Discipline. Our message on this evening is called The Power of Discipline. The Power of Discipline. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for using us all in such a time as this, Lord. Lord, we know that there are storms that are brewing and storms that are happening right now on the southeast coast here, Lord Jesus. And we ask for Your protection around everyone, Lord Jesus, that's embarking on this storm, Lord. We know that we're living right now today in a pandemic, and there are all kinds of things that are happening right now in our society. And Lord, we need You like never before. But Lord, we need discipline like never before. Your people today, Lord Jesus, we need discipline because life happens to us and distractions come to us. And there are so many things that happen that get us off the beaten path of what You have for us. And although You're saying in Jeremiah 29 and 11 that You have plans for us, sometimes we don't line up with those plans because we're not disciplined. But Lord, thank You for Your word. And thank You for everything that You're doing to allow us to grow in discipline. Use us for Your purpose and Your glory. And I, Lord, as I pour it out, I ask that You fill me with Your spirit to speak unto Your people on today. In the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, use this voice as a voice of this generation, Lord. And allow anyone that hears this word to have their life changed, so that You be glorified in all that we do. And we give You the thanks in the praise, in the name of Jesus, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to thank you all again for joining us on this morning, Now, the word discipline, we're going to talk about that. The word discipline is used in two different forms and two different contexts. Because one of the ways that we use this word discipline, it's a practice of training, and it's also a branch of knowledge. It's a practice of training, and it's also a branch of knowledge. For the purpose of this message on today, we're going to focus on it being a practice of training. A practice of training. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to spend some time soaking in that so that we can understand what this word means. Because in all of our getting, there is no getting if there's no understanding. We want to get understanding. So I want to make sure that I break this down into its lowest common denominator. I want to granulate this word so that you can understand it, so that you can use it and apply it into your life. Okay? So what we want to do is we want God to hear us as we talk about, we want to hear from God as we talk about this word, discipline, and its importance in our lives. That's the goal here. That's what we want to do, is we want to talk about discipline, its importance, to help us reach the goals, the purpose, the plan, and everything that God needs for us to do. Discipline. I like Merriam-Webster's definition of this word, which lines up with the message. And it states, as you see the first slide up here on today, discipline is the training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. I'm going to read that again. Discipline is the training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties. We'll talk about that word faculties or moral character. That's what it does. That's what it is. And faculties in this text is the ability to act or to do. The ability to act or to do. So based off of the definition that we just uncovered, here's another slide I want to put up here. Discipline is an ongoing practice that continues to take place. Discipline is an ongoing practice that continues to take place. In other words, discipline requires a constant nurturing. Okay, it requires a constant nurturing. It's a continuation of perfection. We're constantly practicing perfection in this area of discipline. Now, to be more direct, you're continuing to perfect a particular area in your life. You continue to perfect this area in your life. And discipline does not come and it does not happen overnight. It does not come and it does not happen overnight. Here are some words that come to mind as it pertains to the practice of discipline. Train. Okay, we're familiar with the word train. Molding. Correcting. Changing. Adapting. Developing. Those are all words when it comes to the practice of discipline. And I can name many more, but I just wanted to just give us a few words here as we're talking about this word, because our next slide that you see up right now says, discipline is an ever-developing process. Discipline is an ever-developing process. Before that early bird can catch that worm, there is a development that has to take place to be that early bird to catch that early worm. First of all, you have to learn that the worms come out early. That's part of the process. You have to perfect your technique in catching the worms. Then you have to know when they're coming out. You have to study them. You have to learn them. This is all a part of the practice of discipline. Now, in the Word of God, when I think discipline, I think of the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is rich and is fully saturated with so many scriptures that line up with discipline that I love the wisdom that God gave King Solomon to help us in this day and in this time. Even now, the same words resonate with us because the Word of God, it meets us where we are. And even some of the scriptures back then, they help us in our areas of discipline. For instance, I love Proverbs because as I'm going through my biblical studies and preparing for my messages, I like to read a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs and allow God to speak to me And there's so much that I can extract from that word. Just from one chapter in the book of Proverbs, I can pretty much build an entire series from the wisdom of King Solomon. Just kind of let me in a little bit on how I study. It's part of the practice, the development, the discipline that's required. Because we have to, as we seek God, there's a discipline that comes along with even seeking Him to get yourself in position to make sure that Matthew 6 and 33 is all over your life. Seeking ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That doesn't start overnight. That starts over time. But that's part of the things as we're going into the discipline and talking about how we walk into the purpose and the practicing of discipline. But oftentimes, like I said, you know, we read the book of Proverbs or whatever your favorite book of the Bible is. Just know that the Word of God is going to speak to you. And as you develop those reps, you get those reps in and you continue to allow the Word of God to speak to you, you're going to eventually develop some muscle memory. And that comes from the discipline that you placed yourself in. Okay? So, again, as we're talking about that, and I wanted to bring up Proverbs specifically for this message here, because there are some nuggets that King Solomon drops as it pertains to discipline. Now, I'm going to kind of divert away from discipline being a practice to now talk about more of the correcting form of discipline. For instance, take a scripture here, Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs 22 and 6, as you see on the screen here, where he's telling us here from the King James Version, the old school version, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And obviously, you know, back then, you know, they would say he, but they're talking about he is in mankind, boys and girls. This is not gender specific. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. Because sometimes we can read the Bible literally, and if it doesn't say certain things, or when it says certain things, we take it literal sometimes, and it derails us from what God wants us to know and to understand. So we'll get caught up into the he, and then we'll start disputing that. And that's the reason why we have. You got to be called by the Word of God to spend that time, to be able to break down the Word of God so that we can understand the Word of God. Because if you just read the Bible literally, it can derail you. But this is why you got to soak in His Word. This is why you have to put those reps in and allow yourself to draw near to Him so that He can draw near to you. And when He draws near to you, He's going to give you the ideas that He has for that word. And He's going to share with you all the mysteries and things that He has for you. But you've got to spend time with God. And that starts from coming with developing discipline. Another scripture that Proverbs talks about as it pertains to the correcting form of discipline in Proverbs 29 and 17. And I'm coming from the New International Version. It says, discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. How about that? Discipline your children. They will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. We talked last week, as we were talking about the power of peace, the peace of God. We talked about that. And when peace comes from God, it will guard our hearts. Remember that? It will guard our minds in Christ Jesus. And if we discipline our children, they will in fact give us peace, which is what he's telling us in Proverbs. Now, it's not to say that we're not going to have issues. It's not to say there won't be any struggles with training up the child. It's not to say that every day is going to be roses and smell like peaches. That's not the case. But he's saying that after you've done all and you've kind of had some issues with your children and maybe your son bucked up to you as you a father, maybe your daughter kind of ran her mouth or whatever the case, that's okay. Because you have to focus on what the Word of God tells you. Don't get caught up into the situation. Focus on the promise. Focus on the promise. And he's saying that if you discipline them, they will give you peace. That's the end result. That's the benefit from putting forth the work. That's the benefit from putting forth all the reps that develop that discipline in your child. You as a parent have to be disciplined to discipline your children. You as a parent must be disciplined to discipline your children. That's the way effective discipline works. Now, as we discipline our children, they're going to give us peace, And again, it's not to say that we won't have struggles, but I want us to understand, focus on what he's saying, because if we do it, we're working hard, we're putting in those reps, there's going to be a benefit from all the work that we put in. Stay with me, because I'm going somewhere with that. But as I stated, discipline in the context of this message here means training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. Moral character. And I just want to read to you a scripture that really speaks to this message here. And I want to thank all of y'all for tuning in, whether it be YouTube or Facebook Live, or you're listening to us here on today, also on We Talk Radio as well. I just want to share with you the foundation for this message here. As I will give you often scriptures to support the different things that we're talking about here, there's always going to be a main text that's going to line up with the meat and the potatoes of this word. Now, for those that don't know, what I always like to do is I like to give a little biblical analogy here just so that we can understand how the Bible operates. The Bible is like having two hands here. Okay, it breaks down. You've got a left hand, which represents the Old Testament, which if you were to open your Bible, the very first book that you would see is called the book of Genesis. And it goes through the book of Malachi. And then there's a New Testament, which starts from Matthew, which is one of the four Gospels. Who was Matthew? Matthew was one of the 12 disciples, okay, that followed Jesus. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are four Gospels, four of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus for his three dynamic years of ministry. So therefore, we have four accounts of the ministry of Jesus. That starts the New Testament of the Bible, and it goes into the book of Revelations. Then we get into the book of Acts. Acts is when the Holy Spirit made his reintroduction, because they were up in, the early believers were up into the upper room, because Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send you a helper. And that helper is going to give you his power. We're going to have access to the Holy Spirit. And that's what the day of Pentecost is all about, the reintroduction, the grand introduction of the Holy Spirit that we have access to. And now we have that power to do what Jesus said, to do the greater works. To be able to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. To be able to speak those things that may not be as though they are. Now we have that power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Then we get into the Apostle Paul and the Pauline letters and all the different letters that he wrote to the churches that he planted. And then we get into, as we're going to talk about here, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, so forth and so on. I love the Bible because the Bible is so full and is so rich of everything that we need to equip us in our lives. But all of that is represented in the right hand that I just talked about, which is a New Testament, the books of Matthew through the book of Revelations. And we're going to be hanging out in the New Testament on today. We're going to be hanging out in 2 Timothy, as you see on the screen. We're going to be coming from 2 Timothy verses 1 through 7, verse 1 through 7, 2 Timothy. And it reads, and I'm going to talk about who this is, who he's talking to, and why we're reading this, but it reads, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Let's read that again. "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." That is the New International's translation or version of this scripture. The King James Version that we all know, it typically says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind." Power, love, and of a sound mind. That's the scripture that we're familiar with. But I wanted to come for the purpose of this message from the New International Version's scripture here. From this version of the scripture here, because we're talking about discipline. So in other words, we're not to be timid. We're not to be fear. And fear, I look at fear as an acronym. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Because we're supposed to have the spirit that God gave us. And if we're operating in the spirit of God, then there is no room for fear. If we're operating in the spirit of God, there's no reason to be timid. But who Paul was talking to is Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter to his understudy by the name of Timothy. Paul took Timothy under his wing. Timothy was a guy that was called into the ministry. He was new. And he was a little bit intimidated by some things that he seen. In fact, Paul wrote this letter as he was in the Roman prison, as he wrote this letter to Timothy. But Paul wanted to send him some encouragement to let him know, don't be dismayed. Don't be timid. Don't be intimidated. Yes, they're locking up anyone that proclaims the gospel, that's preaching the gospel. But don't let that fear, don't let that scare you. Don't allow fear to set in. Don't allow that to intimidate you. Because he's saying, having fear and being intimidated, that's not the spirit that God gave you, Timothy. But he wants you to have love. He wants you to have that power that comes from the Holy Spirit and self-discipline to help you stay focused. That's what he wanted Timothy to know and understand. And sound mind means self-discipline. A sound mind means self-discipline. As I shared this morning, I want us to understand that we need to start thanking God for just having a sound mind. You know, remember how the old folks used to say, oh, I thank the Lord for waking me up in my right mind. As we were children and we would hear that coming up in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, oh, we thank the Lord for allowing me to be in my right mind. Now, those of us that grew up in certain churches, we know that's just not colloquialism. They really mean that. And as we grow older, we begin to appreciate certain things in our lives. We begin to appreciate the fact that we do have a sound mind. That is an asset. That is one of your greatest assets for being able to live the life that God has called you to have. Because you cannot have discipline if you do not have a sound mind. You cannot have the power of discipline if you do not have a sound mind. That's why the enemy fights your mind. That's why he's always trying to put things into your mind. And I heard a preacher tell me one time, the enemy, the devil, Satan, will give you a thought and make you think you thought it. He will give you a thought and make you think that thought came from you. This is why we have to have a sound mind, so we can recognize a source, so that we can stay focused, and so that we can stay disciplined. Because if we don't have a sound mind, we cannot operate in the power of discipline. But this is what Paul wanted Timothy to understand. And in this letter here that he wrote to Timothy, he wanted him to understand that through his relationship with God, he received some benefits by believing God. Okay, remember we talked about the benefits of believing. Those that follow this ministry here, we talked about the benefits of believing during our series, Believe. In which, in this text, God's power, his love, and self-discipline are the benefits from seeking God first, from not being intimidated, but operating in love and not operating in fear. This is the encouragement that Paul wanted to send Timothy, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is the encouragement that he wants us to still know on today. Yes, he was writing this to Timothy, but this resonates to us on today. Now, I'm about to put another slide up here, and I want you to understand this here. Neither timidness nor fear, and as you can see, I got fear listed as an acronym, false evidence appearing real, neither of those comes from God. But what does come from God as a benefit of believing in him is his power, love, and self-discipline. His power, his love, and self-discipline. And I'm going to put another slide up here I want you to see right now. You can't have self-control without having self-discipline. You cannot have self-control without having self-discipline. What do you mean by that? It means that, first of all, there's a process. You have to first accept the Lord as your Savior. And in exchange for that, you will receive some benefits from him. And one of these benefits is the power of self-control. It's the power of self-control, which is a byproduct of self-discipline. Paul knew, Timothy being new in the ministry, was timid, fearful, ashamed, because the gospel was not popular. And as I mentioned, people were persecuted, thrown in jail. And Paul himself used to be a Christian slayer until he had that encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus changed him from Saul to Paul. Timothy knew about that. Timothy had to go through this process of understanding, regardless to what might happen, regardless to false evidence appearing real, regardless to all these things, I got a job to do. I got to get my reps in. I got to be like Kobe Bryant, hitting those free throws, even though the game is over, just staying. And Kobe developed that, what he calls Mamba mentality, by constantly shooting them free throws and constantly replaying maybe some shots that he may have missed. And if you ever just study the mind of Kobe Bryant and how he was able to have a certain level of discipline in his life, you would understand that it took time to get there. But when you got there, you put in those reps, you developed, here it is, muscle memory, which came from self-discipline. When everybody else is going out and playing, everybody else is going out and doing other things, you've got self-discipline to stay focused because you've got to go. You want to graduate college with honors. And you don't have time to go to every party and everything. I'm not saying you can't have fun, but you've got to have a level of discipline. Otherwise, you're going to fall off the beaten path. So Timothy, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy while in prison, and he wanted him to understand that this is what he was going to need to be able to progress and fall and go forth into what God needs him to go forth in when it comes to ministry. Okay? Because it was going to be a process for him to get comfortable to pursue his destiny. But thank God for a guy like Paul that gave him the encouragement that he needed. Because here's the thing that I want us to understand. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot give what you do not have. So if you don't have discipline, you cannot give discipline. This is why I say parents have to be disciplined in order to discipline children. Because you cannot give what you do not have. So thank God for the sound mind, for the discipline, the reps that you're putting in that's going to give you the muscle memory that's going to lead to discipline. What a blessing. What a blessing. We're almost done, and I want to thank y'all for hanging in here with us, Because here's the deal. You don't just wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to be disciplined in a certain area. You're going to set yourself up for failure. That's not how it works, ladies and gentlemen. It's a process to get to a certain level of discipline. That's just how discipline works. It's a process. And you're going to have extremely high expectations, but yet you don't have the discipline to be able to withstand and withhold those expectations. You have to gradually step into that process. That's why we're going to have this as a series to help give you the keys to help you develop and perfect your level of discipline. It's an ever-developing process, ladies and gentlemen. And Paul wanted to encourage Timothy so that he just didn't give up so easily. Matter of fact, he didn't give up at all. He wanted to leave his understudy because Timothy was his understudy. Paul was his mentor. Timothy was the understudy. And he wanted to give him some tangible tokens to help him on his journey. In a similar sense, it's like this quote that I want to share from you from the great Jim Rohn. And it reads, as you see the slide up right now, it reads, "Discipline is the foundation upon which all success is built. Lack of discipline inevitably leads to failure." We're going to leave that slide up here for a little bit because I want that quote from one of the great minds of our lifetimes. I want that quote to stay there, and I want that to saturate into your mind and your heart. Discipline is the foundation upon which all success is built. Lack of discipline inevitably leads to failure. Failure. Lack of discipline leads to failure. How many things have we failed in our life? How many times have we tried some things and they just didn't quite work out? How many of us know what it's like to be a failure in a particular situation, and if we would pull back the layers of the onion of that situation, the breadcrumbs are going to lead to a lack of discipline. Now, I'm going to stop right here Because there's a whole lot that we're going to talk about as we get into this. I just wanted to whet your appetite here, to quench that thirst here as we're talking about this. Because here's what I want you to go. We're going to put the slides up here. We're going to talk about these things here in the next coming weeks. And you don't want to miss this series. You don't want to miss this series. We're going to talk about, over the next few weeks, embracing discipline. Embracing it into your life. How do I do that? We're going to talk about it. The process of discipline. We said discipline's a process. We're going to talk about that process. Diligent discipline. We're going to talk about the diligence of discipline. Muscle memory. All those things that allow us to get to that point. And then we're going to leave you with the benefits of discipline. This is what's to come here over the next few weeks. But I want us to understand that these are the things, these are the keys to developing self-discipline in your life. Because I believe, as God gave me this series, as He gave me this here, I believe in our society today, as I close, there's a lack of discipline in a lot of our lives. And maybe we've got discipline in some areas in our lives, but we don't have discipline in other areas of our lives. But God loves us, ladies and gentlemen. And He cares for us. And He meets us wherever we are, whatever situation that we're going through. God knows what we need when we need it. And He never makes a mistake. Because He wants for His people to live their best lives on earth as it is in heaven, and for diligent discipline to help us in our lives on today. Amen? How about that? He loves you so much. He wants you to be disciplined enough to be able to carry forth everything that He has for you in your life. Now, as I close, I'm going to leave this last slide with you on today from the great Brian Tracy. From the great Brian Tracy. And it says, the one human quality that must be developed is self-discipline for success. The willpower to force yourself to do what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not, success is terms of discipline. Success is terms of discipline. So when you see a Michael Jordan, or you see a Simone Biles, or you see great business people like a Mark Cuban or a Robert Smith or a Jeff Bezos or somebody, you know that the success that they had came from having a life filled with disciplines, certain disciplines in their life. Nobody just stumbles upon success. But the problem with our society on today, oftentimes, is we see fool's gold. And what I mean by that, we'll see overnight successes and instant social media, what they call overnight success by social media, Instagram, and all these things where somebody was discovered and boom, it instantly happened. Let me tell you something. There's nearly 4 billion people on the face of this earth. And that level of success happens to less than 0.3% of the people on the face of this earth. Think about that statistic. Less than 0.3, not even 1%, less than and half percent of the people on the face of this earth, less than 0.3% of the people may stumble into overnight success. In other words, if you're going to look at, you know, ratios and proportions and all that, you're going to have, you would have a better chance of being struck by lightning than to become an overnight success. But with the level of discipline, with understanding the process, with allowing God to help you in those areas in your life, making Him first, seeking Him first, so that you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, I thank You. Remember we talked about that. Positioning your mind, thanking Him for giving you a sound mind, getting your mind focused, getting your vertical right so that your horizontal can be right. What do I mean by that? Seeking you first, the kingdom of God, so that as you go along your day, people can see that light shining. People can see that sun shining bright through your life. People can know that you're that early bird that caught that worm, because it's going to be all over you. And it all started from the routine that you have, from developing discipline. But somebody on today, this is an opportunity for you. You're loving this discipline thing, But you may not have the other component that you need to bring the fullness of God in your life, and that's Him. God is saying to you right now at 6:49 p.m. Central Standard Time, God is saying to you right now, you have an opportunity to draw near to Him. He loves you. And He wants to welcome you into His kingdom, but you've got to do one thing. You've got to believe in Him. You've got to believe that He died. You've got to believe that He rose. And you've got to believe that He did it for you. And you've got to believe that He can live through you. So if that's you right now, before we close this message here, I want you to just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I humbly come running back to you, Lord. And I get rid of all my ways, and I accept your way. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. Accept me as your son. Accept me as your daughter. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day, with all of the power and with all of the glory. In the name of Jesus, I receive you, Lord, and I thank you for coming into my heart and being in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Was that you? Was that you? Did you give your life to God? Let me tell you something. First of all, if that is you, I'm clapping for you because I am welcoming you into a kingdom that never loses. This is a team that never loses. This is the winning team of all winning teams. And if you've dedicated your life to Christ, shoot me a note. Send me an email, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. If that is you, I just want to just talk to you, get to know you. I'll be your coach or whatever you need right now, just maybe to give you some information and all of that. I'd love to be able to help you if you just dedicated your life and anything that I can do to just help you continue to walk. Because you accept Him today, but we also accept attacks from the enemy. We also accept certain things that come in our life that we just don't expect. And let me tell you something, I'm here for you. And if not, listen, join any good Bible-based believing church out there. Get in somebody's church that's going to teach you the fundamentals of the Word of God so that you can know what the Word of God says in your life, so that it can be applied in your life, so that you can use it in your life. And as always, if you love to join this church, we love to have you here. Shoot us a note here. We'll be happy to send you some information if you'd love to join this ministry here. We've got some great things that are coming here. Just shoot us a note, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. We've got the website that's still under construction that's going to be coming. You'll be able to do a lot of things on our website here. We're looking at brick-and-mortar buildings, but we're also keeping our eye on the COVID situation and all that. So we've got some challenges, but guess what? We're going to make it through because why? We're going to continue to operate in the discipline that God has us to, because if we continue with that, we know that He's going to open doors and do great things, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. But right now, it's always one of our favorite parts of the message. That's right. It's giving time. You know this word was a blessing to you. You know this word was a blessing to you. It's ringing in your heart right now. Lord, thank you. I needed this right now. I've been struggling with discipline right now. I didn't even realize that I had a discipline issue right now. God spoke to you. You were led to hear this word on today. Tell God thank you. Tell God thank you. As you can see on the screen right now, okay, you can give to us on an app called Givelify. Download the Givelify app. And you can pull us up, you'll see our information there, pull up Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, or if you can see it on the screen right now, put your phone up to it if you're looking at a laptop or something, and just download that, what do we call that code, the QR code, and it will take you right to our giving page. And then also, as you can see, we've got all the options here. You can see us on Givelify, as we talked about. If you're old school and you want to send us a paper check or money order or something like that, listen here. We welcome your gifts. We welcome all your financial gifts. Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. You see our P.O. Box in Arlington, Texas. You can send that to us there or the Zelle app. Okay? We're on Zelle as well. We are on Zelle as well. Look at that. I'm a poet and didn't even know. We're on Zelle as well. And you can see us at info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Pull us up on the Zelle. info.soilchurch@gmail.com. What I do is I pray over every offering that comes into this church. And we don't want anything from this ministry. We don't want anything from you. We want everything for you. Those are listening on We Talk Radio, feel free to join our page here so that you can see the different ways that you can give and allow God to open up new doors for you in your life. Tell God thank you as you're listening to this word here. It's not about the amount. It's about your heart. Okay? It's not about the amount. It is about your heart. Look at the scripture right there, giving. Giving is service, as you can see right here. Giving is service. This is a form of service. Just like an usher, someone in the choir, someone directing traffic, or even giving a ministry, whatever that is. Do you know that giving is the one part that everybody can participate in? You don't have to be a member of this church to just tell God thank you. You don't have to be restricted on anything. Listen, you can give. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. He put no restrictions on that. But if this word was a blessing to you, feed what's feeding you. And if this word is feeding you, feed it back. And all it's going to do is continue to grow in your life. That is the way that we sow and we receive harvest. We sow and we reap. We sow and we reap. So listen, I just want to pray over every offering. We're going to have our quick benediction. I'm going to give you back your Sunday evening. Lord Jesus, thank you for every seed sown into this storehouse, Lord. I thank you for every seed. And I thank you for a hundredfold return on every seed, Lord. Because they're sowing on good ground, Lord Jesus. I see it in my life every day. I talk to people every day that are sowing into this ministry, and they're seeing the wonderful benefits from just being obedient and doing their part in serving. I thank you for every financial contribution that's coming into this ministry, that's positioning us, Lord, to be able to continue to do your work and to take it to another level. We thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord, for every ear that's listening to this word, for every person that's sowing into this ministry, for every life that this word is touching. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray for everyone, Lord Jesus, to be safe. I pray for those in the Louisiana area and the Gulf areas, Lord. I pray for those that are in Haiti, those that are in Pakistan, Afghanistan. And Lord, there's so much going on in this world. But nothing catches you by surprise. We just pray that you cover us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to just see an end to this pandemic, Lord, so we can get some form of this next new, whatever this next level is, Lord. Give it to us, Lord Jesus. Hear our hearts. Hear our cries. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your healing power, Lord. Thank you for your wonder-working power. Thank you for your miracle power. And help us to see it in our lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us have a great, wonderful week as we continue to learn and to practice discipline in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, people, we love you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back. We're going to do 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. We'll also either do a replay or we'll come live again at 6 p.m. But I'm kind of liking this 6 p.m. I'm kind of liking this 6 p.m. stuff here now. But anyway, just know it's either going to be 9 a.m. or 6 p.m. or both. You'll know it. You'll see it. We'll send out that information. We thank you for spending time with us. Have a great, wonderful, fantastic week. Keep God first in all that you do. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll see you next week. Love you, folks. Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the Word of God like we've never needed the Word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good, sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, and as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord, 10 a.m. every Sunday. Join me and allow God to speak to your spirit so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God.